We're talking today with Dr. Ron Scholer from the Great Plains Canola Association. And with that hat on, let's talk canola, Ron. How did we end up as far as harvest is concerned?
We got off to a bit of a tough start with the dry planting conditions, and that took our acres down a little bit, unfortunately. But going into the winter, we were still in pretty good shape, and then it didn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then it started raining in May, and in many cases, that saved the crop. That was the proverbial million-dollar rain. Had we not gotten that, we were on our way to another 2014 disaster. But that helped a lot when the rain started and made some fields produce that otherwise would not have, all of the fields, frankly. But then we got too much rain, and that certainly impacted harvest, a lot of delays. Remarkably, this crop held in there. You're concerned about shattering as the crop matures and you can't get it out even if you're having rain. But today we're at about 95% harvested and some really good yields, particularly given the year. We know that one farmer made almost 4,000 pounds per acre. There's a lot of 3,000-pound canola, but there's also some 1,000-pound canola. So it's over, all over the board as usual. But remarkable recovery, and I'll repeat myself, we're about 95% harvest. The only thing that's left out there is a small amount of canola that the farmers are planning to direct harvest. All the swathing has been done, and that's all been picked up.
So, you know, swathing seems to be almost we've kind of almost defaulted to swathing for the majority of harvest, haven't we?
Yeah, we just don't have the varieties that will hold up to delaying until we can direct cut, direct harvest. So we still our experts strongly recommend swathing at this point. Get the crop, you can get it dried down, and then you can pick it up earlier than if you wait to direct harvest, because you've got to wait for that crop to get to a certain point, certain level of moisture, and you would begin to get concerned if you were doing that on large acreages if you were going to direct cut everything. Now, scientists, researchers are working on varieties that will permit direct harvest, and I'm very confident that at some point in time that will be another tool in the box, varieties that can be direct harvested.
Right. Now, you speak of, you know, companies and new varieties. One of the things that I've noticed, especially at the winter conference held earlier this year, in talking to some of the companies, there still is a lot of optimism within these companies about developing some varieties, new varieties that'll be on the scene in the next either this year or the next year after that, that will address some of these needs of the Southern Plains.
Right. We still, to some degree, are getting varieties developed for other regions of the country or even world, those developed for Europe, and we're trying to make them fit here. But as we grow this industry in Oklahoma and the Southern Great Plains, companies will be attracted to and motivated by producing varieties that work well here. We still have varieties that we put in the fall. The companies believe they'll perform adequately, and then we have excessive winter kill. So that takes them out of the mix and should. But as we learn more about what perennial materials to choose from to have that winter hardiness that we have to have here in the Southern Great Plains, we'll get varieties that will fit the need, and we'll see less winter kill. I'm very optimistic about that. And that's going to be essential for the industry. We can't go into the winter concerned that we're going to lose half the plants. Wheat holds up much better than that, and canola has to mimic what wheat is able to do for us.
I know that, you know, we've got a lot of growers that had tried it in 13 and especially in 14, discouraged by the results. 15 was a pretty pivotal year. We needed some success this year.
We did need some success. We did lose some acres from 14 to 15, but that's not unexpected given the complete unmitigated disaster. But we did get a good number of acres in, about 150,000 acres. And I think one of the really good pieces of news, Ron, is each of the previous two or three years, we left a lot of canola unharvested because of the bad conditions. The really last good year, excellent year, was 2012. I believe we're going to get almost all those acres we planted this year harvested. Yes, there were some that were lost to winter kill and were insuranced out, but most of those acres are going to be harvested this year. That's really good.
when we think about, you know, maybe some lessons we've learned from 2015 carrying forward, what are some things that have kind of stuck out in your mind?
Our growers want to grow canola no-till, and we're still learning exactly how to do that. The canola plant is sensitive to wheat straw residues. There's I don't want to get too deep into the science here, but let's just say a canola plant touching a wheat straw or in the area of wheat straw is not a good thing. And so we're figuring out equipment that will keep the straw on the ground for the residue, the erosion control, and the moisture preservation and low temperatures and all the good things that come with no-till, but how do we grow this very extremely small-seeded canola there? And our researchers are getting answers on that, and growers are getting experience. And so that's going to be a point of emphasis for us now and in the future.
In other words, it's important to maybe push it away, that residue away from the plant itself just a little bit to give it some breathing room.
And that's what we're learning, is it may take more than a little bit. There's still some effect from having residue within a certain proximity, even if it's not touching the plant. And again, don't want to get too deep into the science here because all the answers have not been developed, but our researchers are going to know that and know exactly what we have to do to be successful, because we need to no-till this crop just like we can no-till soybeans, which are highly adaptable, highly adapted to no-till, for example.
Right. Those type of, you know, subjects like trying to figure out the no-till equation, part of the Winter Canola Conference that's going to happen in July. Tell me about the conference.
It is. we lament the weather effects. We've become we've always been the state of too much wet, too much dry, and then too much wet, too much dry. We can't do anything about the weather, but we can do something about the other decisions, the management decisions that growers will make. And so our scientists and experts will be talking about this at the 11th Winter Canola Conference in Enid on July the 14th. They'll be talking about variety performance, how things held up to these conditions we've just come out of this winter, no-till stand establishment. And we're not ready yet for on-farm storage. That's not been an issue. But Dr. Carol Jones at OSU has been developing working on some research, and she'll be presenting that when we get to the point where we want to do on-farm storage. And growers are always interested in what other producers think about their experiences. And so one of the most popular things we always do for these kinds of events is to have a grower panel. Mm-hmm. And so Heath Sanders will be leading a panel of growers with experience, and growers can hear from other growers.
Right. Now, this conference really kind of gives you almost the kickoff for the 2016 season. We, of course, obviously start planting early September. At that point, you start getting a feel of what the attitude is about coming back in with more acres, right?
That's right. It is. We'll be sitting looking at the beginning of next year's crop. You don't get much relief from one year to the next. The farmer doesn't. So, when we meet in July, it will be about 45 days away from the beginning of planting. That's why we do the summer conferences, so they can have the latest information. They're not depending on just what we've told them in the past, but they've got the best, the most recent, hot off the plate information that's available.